This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Gallet.
Hello,
Mary Gallet. And Richie O'J. What's up, baby?
What's going on?
Oh, Wade hanging in down in the studio over there. And Kelly's holding it down back home. All right, so I have to ask this question. Because here on the Sound Off, we cover a lot of ground. And sometimes it's ground that is hallowed. And other times it's ground that is shallowed. So that's pretty much the Sound Off right there in a nutshell. Hallowed to shallowed.
I have a feeling we're going to shallowed.
We're going to shallowed.
Yep, of course.
Where else would we go? And for those who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition of the show, thank you for that. And big hugs, and we love you. And for those who have been tuning in live and joining us here at reinventionradio.com on Thursdays from 12 until 2 Pacific, thank you for that as well. So don't forget, you can join us every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific live. And you can catch the feed there at reinventionradio.com. Now, I have to admit, since we do broadcast from 12 until 2, that's right smack dab in the middle of the lunch hour.
Yes, it is.
And I find myself being often quite hungry when I get here. And thankfully, Wade puts out some nice granola and nuts. And our Frito-Lay sponsor, who used to send us big, huge boxes of sour cream and onion potato chips, somehow disappeared off the face of the planet. But now we're on a granola. We're on to better things, and you're eating your celery sticks. And
yep.
What's in the little...
hummus.
Celery sticks and hummus.
It's my snack.
That is so impressive.
It's like mustard.
It does look like that's what I thought it was. I thought maybe it was like
just
a honey
classic
mustard.
Hummus.
It's lovely, though, and delicious. And it's so impressive how you eat lately. It's just, I mean, like, you're like, I would say not necessarily a foodie, but you're conscious of the food.
I'm on a specific diet.
Yeah. And that diet is?
The fast metabolism diet.
Oh, so this is like a real thing. Like, you read somewhere. It's not just
it's amazing.
This is not just a Mary Goulet thing. This is an actual, like, there is a whole movement around fast metabolism. Does that mean, like, you eat a lot of cabbage? Because doesn't cabbage, like, have negative calories or
no? That's
whatever.
Celery. It takes more energy to chew that celery than the calories you get.
Is that what they mean by negative calories?
Yeah.
It takes more energy to chew it than it does to process. Interesting. See?
No, then you get in calories back.
Then you get in calories
more to
back.
Process than to get it back.
All right. So when you're not eating celery and hummus and Richie, and you're not digging in the granola bowl here, are you foodies? Do you enjoy?
I'm not a foodie, so that's why it's probably easier for me to do this. But you get to eat mm-hmm. pretty much anything that I normally would eat anyway, but you do it in phases.
Mm-hmm.
So like yesterday and the day before, there were no grains and no fats.
Oh, it's a day by day thing. So
it's three
one
phases.
Day you do one thing.
2 days, you do a specific diet. The next 2 days, you do another diet, and then I'm on a 3 day meal plan, which includes protein, veggies, fats,
mm-hmm.
every you know
the things you need.
Right.
So do you cook much at home? Are you a baker? Are you a cooker? Are you a gourmet? I mean, like what kinds of things do you do at home food wise, other than pull and wash celery and cut them into things that fit into a Ziploc
right.
bag, the small Ziploc bag to boot. So you actually there was effort and time and energy that had to go in to make it fit in that size Ziploc bag there.
I like to prepare food. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll do all the chopping. I'm a great sous chef.
Oh, we should have you come over.
There we go.
We like the exact opposite side.
The big side of it and let everybody else do the sous stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if Trish and I would probably have... We are huge foodies,
mm-hmm.
but we're also... We know what happens to your body if you're only a foodie. Mm-hmm. And so we're, like, somewhere right in between Mary's. We try to eat as consciously as possible and... Once every week or two, we'll just whatever. Let game at it. Pizza, you name it, doesn't matter.
So how many nights a week do you eat out at the Otay household?
Oh, we don't eat out weekly
mm-hmm.
like that. It's really more like for sure once a month we're going to pizza.
Yeah.
And I don't know what time of that month is. I just know it's gonna happen.
Well, yeah. Wade, do you do much cooking at home? Foodie? Talk a little bit about sort of what goes on in your kitchen.
Well, food's just a process for me. I tend to eat out a lot because I'm always here at work, but then I cook at home for my mother and brother.
Mm-hmm.
But my diet's kind of boring, so let me share with you something I ran across a little more interesting.
Please.
This guy tried the medieval diet, what he did is the advisors to the kings have, you know, back in the day, mm-hmm. wrote down the recommended diet for a king, right? And so this is something you look up. So he tried this, and he goes, it wasn't so bad, but the coolest thing is you drink wine all day, right? Now, you water down the wine, and he goes, it's yeah, kind of sure. interesting. It's just enough where I had this nice little buzz going all through the whole day. but never drank so much that I got completely intoxicated.
Oh, man.
So if somebody's looking for something kind of interesting,
try the medieval diet.
All
right, there you go. Is it pronounced medieval or medieval?
I'm probably pronouncing
I
it wrong.
I just hate the name diet in general. It right. starts
Anything
with the,
that has diet, yeah.
the word die in the first three words. I mean, come on.
Die!
Or yeah. letters.
So, interestingly enough, there are these companies like Zagat, you know, and so on. They go out and they rate restaurants. And then there's other, you know, like, what is it, AAA or Mobile or whoever that does their four diamond and three diamond and seven diamond. Like, that's a pretty good gig. Like, you go out and you just, like, eat at restaurants and you go to resorts and hotels and you're like, you know what, that was pretty good, but I think I need another serving of lobster just to be sure. You know, I'm not sure yet if this is going to be a three or a four star. So, like, yeah, that's a pretty decent gig. But there was, there's this company out there that is known as the world's 50 best. And so I think they do a lot of different things in terms of ratings and so on. But they do this globally, and they just released a report on the world's 50 best restaurants. And
how many do we have?
I will get to that in a second here. So, interestingly enough, the best restaurant in the world for this year is in New York. So it is. So this is a global thing, and but the best restaurant in the world this year is in New York, and it is a spot called 11 Madison Park. Now, I am not familiar with 11 Madison Park, not only because I haven't been to New York in a good little while.
I bet I know what street it's on.
What street? Yeah, right? No, Madison and Park, maybe? But here's the interesting thing, and this actually doesn't... I know it's a lot of money. It's a ridiculous amount of money. But for New York City, it doesn't actually seem like it's out of line, just knowing that a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan is like $4 million, you know, or whatever yeah. it is. So what they do is it overlooks Madison Park there, and it's an 8 to 10 course seasonal tasting, and they have a set menu, so a prefix or prefi or however you pronounce that, because obviously that's how much I do in that arena. $295 per person. And I didn't think
you're
that was
there
that,
all
like,
night.
Like, if that's the best restaurant in the world and it's a nightly experience, like you could pay that much to go to a concert if you
maybe
have,
that's like
really
their, that's their tripwire. They
that's their tripwire.
Yeah, because they know like the money's not in the food. The money's in the bottle of wine.
Right. So the upsell. Yeah. So the upsell is you can throw in the bar tasting menu for a smooth $145. So there you go. So all in, you're out the door for $500 for the best restaurant in the world. And I was thinking, like, okay, I mean, look, I get it. That's a lot of money, no matter how you slice it. But for the best restaurant in the world, it just seemed like that's, I don't know, maybe you could splurge and eat there. But their signature dish is their honey lavender roasted duck. Hmm. I don't think I've ever, I've had duck once or twice, and it just doesn't, it's too gamey.
Yeah, I don't
can't
like
stand it.
Like, it's too gamey. And then they've got something called the celery root cooked in a pig's bladder, which the chef considers to be his career-defining creation. Like, who sits around and goes, you know what? I think we're going to rip them. I think we're going
to
rip.
I don't like that. None but it ruins celery.
So speaking of celery and hummus, which we have here on the table right now, let's take your celery.
Put it in a pig's
and
bladder.
Let's put it in a pig's bladder. And you eat it. And not only are you going to eat it, you're going to pay me a lot of money.
And it's my signature dish.
And it's my signature dish. All right. So interestingly enough, that is the only restaurant globally here that made the top 10 list that is in the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so what kind of surprised me is that three of the top 10 restaurants, according to this, in the world, are in what country? What country would you guess that three of the top 10 restaurants in the world are in? Any guesses?
Well, I wanted the obvious ones, Spain, Italy.
France.
Right. What do you think, Richie?
I'm going to take something. I'm going to go out of left field and something that no one probably guessed. China.
Oh, yeah, right. Not China.
No, I know. I'm joking.
Yeah, right. So interesting enough, it is Spain.
It is
so
Spain.
So Spain has three of the top 10. And this really surprised me. Two of the top 10 are in a country I never would have guessed. Want to just take a... I'll give you a hint. It's in South America.
Brazil.
What do you think, Mary?
Oh, no. Argentina.
What do you think, ooh, Mary? It's in South America. Wade, what do you think?
I got nothing.
You got nothing. Do you know the countries in South America?
Yeah, right.
I would go with Brazil being it's, you know, such a world... You know, Rio is a world city from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Actually, Peru.
Peru.
Believe it or not, Peru had Peru, which is where my wife is from. So, well, technically not her. She's from Chicago. But her ancestors, at least half of her family is
my friends are over there in Machu Picchu right now.
In Machu Picchu. All right. And so the U.S. restaurants that made the list. So there were actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the list there that made the top 50 in the world. 11 Madison Park, as I said, was number one in New York City. Blue Hill at Stone Barns in Pocantino Hills, New York. No clue where that is. Le Bernardin in New York City. Alinea in Chicago. Saison in San Francisco. And Cosme in New York City. So interestingly enough, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those are in New York City. So there you go. Go figure. All right. Well, guys, go out and
eat
something yummy and delicious and listen to Reinvention Radio while you're doing it so that when you chew, you think about Richie and Mary and Wade and myself here. All right, guys, good fun on Reinvention Radio. We're sounding off, and we'll talk to you next time. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.